When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
It's Monday, May 10th, and you're tuned into the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes, our Tribe beat writer. Hoynesy, our podcast today isn't going to get rained out, unlike the Indians yesterday.
Yeah,
didn't play the final game of their three-game weekend series against the Cincinnati Reds. That game will be rescheduled and made up on August 9th. So until then, the fate of the Ohio Cup still hangs in the balance. The Indians can either win and retain the cup, or for the first time since 2014, the Reds can win the cup outright and take that home. I know for all of you people who are following very closely the fate of the Ohio Cup, very important, but no game on Sunday really sort of again stops the momentum that the Indians had built coming off of Saturday's big win, scoring 9 runs.
Yeah, definitely, Joe. It was it was a great day to call, though. You know, they called it out early, everybody got to go home and celebrate Mother's Day, and but what a miserable day yesterday was. It was just rain the whole day. But you're right. You know, the Tribe bounces back big time from being no hit on Friday with a 9-2 win Saturday. And they get 11 hits. They score 2 runs right away, you know, one in the first, one in the second. So there's no Johnny Vandermeer threat going on, that back-to-back no hitters. That doesn't make sense, does it? No, Vandermeer threw back-to-back no-hitters, but I don't know. Has any team ever been hit, no-hit, in consecutive games?
Off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you if any team's been no-hit consecutively. I just know that the Indians have 130 chances now remaining to be the first team to get no-hit 3 times in a season, as they are now one of, 18 teams to have it happen to them twice in Major League Baseball. But just going back to Saturday's game, the way they bounced back, Aaron Civale really seems to be now, he's the Indians pitcher to pitch the day after a no-hitter both times, and both times he's come out and just been excellent.
Yeah, on April 14th, they were no-hit by Carlos Rodon. Civale came back the next day and pitched for a 4-2 win against Chicago at Guaranteed Rate Field, and he did the same thing Saturday. He was great Saturday. I thought that was one of his better games.
Pitched seven innings.
Seven innings, mm-hmm. Really. That Reds team can hit, and he did a great job against him. He mixes up. He uses so many different pitches. You know, he's got that good, the curveball. He's got a good enough fastball. He's always, he locates well. He's just fun to watch pitch.
Yeah, he pitches to 4 quadrants in the strike zone. He's got pitches that move to all 4 quadrants. He's got 6 different pitches in his arsenal right now that he can throw, pretty effectively. And like you said, when you say he's got enough fastball, he's got a fastball, and the other pitches in his arsenal make his fastball play up. You don't realize how, he's not throwing it as hard as some of the other, starting pitchers in the league, but it gets on you faster because you're looking for those other 5 pitches.
Yeah. And he doesn't have to strike out 10 guys, he's pitches to contact, He struck out five guys, you know, Saturday, walked one, allowed five hits, allowed one run, you know, in seven really efficient innings. And, of course, you know, it helps when you're scoring a bunch of runs, too.
Right. Well, he wears that number 43, and it's reminiscent of Josh Tomlin. And those are some of the qualities that when Josh Tomlin was going real well, we could say about him. So not bad company for Aaron Civale. You want to talk about pitching performances from the weekend, though. Zach Plesac is the one that really stands out. What more does a guy have to do get a win than pitch, you know, what, eight scoreless, give up three hits, strike out seven? This was as good as we've seen Zach Plesac maybe ever.
Oh, my goodness, he was good, Joe. I mean, you know, and that, you know, he might have been better at the beginning of the game than he was at the end of the game, and he retired the last 15 straight guys he faced. I mean, he pitched out a like some really, really tough jams early. You know, I think he pitched out of a third and first jam where the infield. I mean, he threw three double play balls, and the Indians turned one of them. You know, so you know, they were fortunate to turn one in the third inning. Then he, you know, he gives up a leadoff double in the fourth, gets out of that inning. And after that, he just cruised. I mean, 15 up, 15 down. And it was just a shame he had to, you know, that he didn't get a victory in that game. He really deserved it.
Yeah. Covering that game from the press box, what were your feelings as they headed towards the, you know, eighth and ninth inning and the Indians didn't have a hit? And the Reds didn't look like they were going to get a hit the rest of the game.
I just wanted the game to slow down so I could catch up. It was hauling. And I, you know, Wade Miley was, you know, in the zone, man. I don't think, as Tito said, he didn't throw one ball over 90 miles an hour, but he was just dealing. And the Indians, the later it got, the earlier they swung it at, you know, pitches, and, you know, they were making terrible contact. I think maybe they hit three balls to the outfield. Mm-hmm. I mean, the fly balls. I mean,
the only ball that got barreled was Framil Reyes hit a line drive to short. And that was probably the hardest hit ball of the day for the Indians.
And yeah. And what's his face? Ahmed Rosario had the double error on in the sixth. He hit that ball pretty hard. And I thought maybe, you know, they could have given him a hit. He kind of beat the throw, but, you know, it was obvious that Sensel was playing on the shortstop side too, wasn't he?
Right, correct.
At second base, yeah.
They had three on the left side of the infield, yeah. And he went down to a knee, and the ball sort of kicked off of his glove. If he fields that cleanly, he throws him out.
Yeah, there's no problem. Yeah. So. And then he throws it in the dugout, so he gets the double error, and you know, Cesar Hernandez walked with two outs, but then Luplo lined out to left, and that was basically it. I mean, you know, they went down in an order in the ninth. It was like, I think he threw like four pitches. I mean, there was like the white flag of surrender went up there.
It's yeah, there really wasn't a lot of fight after that there in the ninth. So great. Hey, we all got to see a no-hitter. It's the second time I got to see a no-hitter in person this year. Like you said, Carlos Rodon did it earlier in April, and now the Indians have been no hit twice. But just the way they bounced back and the way they came back on Saturday, it's a positive sign, at least for the Indians, that they're able to do that. Like you said, it's just one loss.
Yeah, and I think Austin Hedges was, you know, said that they interviewed him after Saturday's game, and he said, you know, it doesn't matter if you get beat 1-0, 3-0, or 100-0. It's one loss, and you move on. If you get no hit, if you have 10 hits and lose, you know, that's the thing about baseball. It's just one game. It counts one game in the one loss standings, and you move on. But there is kind of a stigma about that. You know, I think it hangs over your head. And, you know, if they get close again, you know, what happens if another pitcher is dealing against them? And, you know, that thought isn't too far from their minds.
Well, and this is a lineup that might be susceptible to getting no hit. I think you've got guys who, like Tito said earlier in the season, they don't have a bunch of guys getting hot at the same time. They might have one guy who's hot at one time and then he cools off, and then another guy gets hot. They don't have like 2, 3, 4 guys hitting well all at the same time, and over an extended period of time, like they did, you know, when they were in Kansas City earlier in the week. That was the case, and you saw what happened. They won 4 in a row and went from third place in the division to the top of the division.
Yeah, and so, you know, you never have your whole lineup, you know, rarely do you have, you know, your whole lineup hitting at the same time. But at least you'd like to have 3 or 4 guys hitting at the same time. And I thought it was encouraging, you know, Francona had kind of, after the no-hitter, said, you know, we really didn't make a lot of adjustments against Miley. And I thought Saturday night, just watching the game on TV, you saw guys going the other way. You know, hitting the ball to the opposite field, and I think that was a good sign.
First 4 hits that the Indians had all went to the opposite field on Saturday night.
So that was an encouraging sign, and maybe the light bulb went on with some of these guys that hey, there's a lot of hits the opposite way, and I don't have to hit the ball, you know, 400 feet to get, you know, to get on base and score a run. We can all do this together.
And that's why it was so frustrating that they did get rained out yesterday, was because maybe there, you know, was some sort of momentum that could build off of that. But, you know, they're sitting at home, and then they've got the extra day off today, which sort of compounds it before the Cubs come in on Tuesday. Yeah, I thought obviously the offense looked a lot better on Saturday. Josh Naylor, another guy who he's coming around, I think. What, 3 hits on Saturday, looked pretty good, has looked pretty good lately. So, you know, just there's a little bit of hope there if these guys continue to, you know, do what they're doing. I it's just, like you said, finding more than one guy to maybe join Jose Ramirez and Cesar Hernandez at the top of the order in terms of consistency is what it's going to be. Does this mean that, like you said, they didn't make adjustments? Is that code for maybe something needs to change in terms of the way they're being coached?
Well, you know, I guess, you know, when you get no hit twice in the season, yeah, maybe, you know, there has to be, or who knows, you know, is Ty Van Berkleel, is he telling these guys, hey, there's, try to go the other way, and they're just not doing it? Or, you know, so you don't know. You don't know what's going on. But, you know, Van Berkleel has been up and down a lot. You know, I mean, there's been a lot of criticism directed his way, and he's kept his job for as long as Tito's been here. So, you know, I don't think that's an issue. We'll see. But, you know, I think, you know, like we've said, I mean, when the weather gets a little warmer, I think it's going to be we'll have a better look at just what kind of offensive team this is.
There's never been a better time to register for Indians Subtext and get all your Cleveland Indians news with updates from Cleveland.com reporters Paul Hoynes and Joe Noga. Get on board now by going to joinsubtext.com/Cleveland Indians. Our subscriber-based service gives you the latest news, analysis, and more from the Indians. For $3.99 a month, you get everything we're hearing from the team and the first word before things are announced. We text you big breaking news directly to your phone, even before it's up on Cleveland.com. And you can text us directly with your questions and opinions on everything from the team's name to that day's lineup. And it's the only way to get your questions and comments on the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. Why sign up? Hear from one of our subscribers.
I'm Jeff Heinerson. I grew up there in Milan, Ohio, but I now live out in Idaho. I've been here for 40 years, and my son was born and raised here, and I got him as a birthday present your subtext. And I wanted to thank Paul for sending him a birthday greeting and to tell you that he is really enjoying the subtext. He's not from Ohio, but because he grew up with me, he's hardcore Indian fan. So thanks again.
Jeff and all of our Indian Subtext subscribers agree. There's a lot going on with the Indians, and the best way to keep up is with Indian Subtext. Go to joinsubtext.com/Cleveland Indians, or better yet, text Hoynsey at 216-208-4346. Again, that's 216-208-4346. We look forward to hearing from you on Indian Subtext.
And Joe, I was wondering, what do you think, how will they adjust to the loss of Roberto Perez, who's going to be out 8 to 10 weeks, which is, you know, a significant injury with that broken finger?
Well, I don't think they'll miss too much offensively, because Roberto really wasn't giving them much at the plate, either prior to the injury and definitely since. I mean, he really struggled at the plate after the injury, for sure. But because that went on for 3 weeks of him just not hitting the ball. As far as what they'll lose defensively, obviously he's a 2-time Gold Glove catcher. He calls a great game. All the pitchers trust him and rely on him. But I think some of the younger guys on the staff are pretty in tune with Austin Hedges. And I don't think he'll call as good a game as Roberto Perez does. Maybe in some of the bigger situations it might show through. But as far as blocking balls, as far as throwing out runners, I think he'll be just fine. And Rene Rivera looks like he could actually hit the ball. So it might not be a, you know, Hedges being the number one main guy. It might be more of an even split between the two. And if Rivera can, you know, at least put the bat on the ball, that's a positive sign. He had 3 hits in his first game.
Yeah, and Tito was kind of like, seemed to be leaning that way, that Hedges wasn't going to just, it wasn't going to be Hedges every day like it had been, you know, Perez, when, and Hedges would hit, you know, would catch Sunday, you know, afternoon, a Sunday afternoon game after a Saturday night game to give Perez a break.
Right. Yeah. Usually you get a day game after a night game. That's an automatic backup catcher situation, but I think maybe they'll sprinkle Rene Rivera in a little more. He does a nice job. He's not anything flashy or special, but if you hadn't been getting anything from that spot productivity wise in terms of offense prior to the injury, then you're not going to miss much. I don't think, but you know, who knows? Hedges did hit 17 home runs in a season back in 2017, 2018.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So I mean, the potential is there. It's just, you know, can he get consistent? Maybe a few extra at bats will do that for him.
Definitely. Yeah. That's something to watch for sure.
All right. The Chicago Cubs coming in for a quick 2-game series beginning tomorrow, weather permitting, beginning tomorrow at Progressive Field. The Cubs have been back here before since the 2016 series. It's not like anything special there, but you know, it's, for the Indians fans, the wounds are still fresh, I think, 5 years later. Seriously, you see the Cubs, and there might only – I think Jose Ramirez and Roberto Perez are the only Indians players left on the team from 2016. But the Cubs have a handful of guys who are still around.
Yeah, and they'll have to bring Rashad Davis back to throw out the first pitch. You know, that'd be nice. Yeah, the Cubs, I think the Cubs are probably, as long as they don't fill the ballpark or half the ballpark with Cubs fans, I think the Indians will have a fighting chance. But the Cubs are playing better too. They've kind of, they went through their down times, and now they're playing a little better.
Yeah, I think both teams are on sort of the same trajectory as they're meeting up here this week, because you know, the Indians have had their struggles, but had managed to work their way back to the top of the division before the weekend series. Now the White Sox are on top. The Indians trail by a game, and the Royals have lost 8 straight because Chicago went into Kansas City over the weekend and swept them. 8 straight losses after they were up 3.5 games on the Indians in the AL Central.
Yeah, and it probably, you know, it all goes back to Yeah, that the balk on Springer, right? Or no, is it Springer? Who's the kid? Brady Singer. Yeah. Singer. You know, when everybody got kicked out of the game, they haven't recovered yet.
this week the Indians have this two-game series with the Cubs, and then they have it's an afternoon game on, what, Wednesday before they fly out for a big West Coast trip, seven games against the Mariners and then the Angels.
Yeah, that, it's going to be, you know, the first West Coast trip, four against Seattle, three against L.A., and then they come back and face the Twins. So, you know, it's always interesting. They usually play well in Seattle. L.A. is kind of, you know, hit and miss, and the Angels are playing a little better. We get to see how they play against Mike Trout, how they handle Mike Trout.
I'm not even worried about Trout. It's Ohtani that's the one that's going to kill him.
Yeah.
Ohtani always kills them, and, you know, that goes back to his rookie year. We've seen Shohei Ohtani hit 480-foot home runs against the Indians, so it should be interesting there. I guess this week could tell the Indians a lot about, you know, who they are, if they can play even with the Cubs, who are a team very similar to them right now, and then get ready to go on a big trip and have a little success there.
Because, you know, they're coming out of a long stretch against the AL Central. They really so they're going to play some, you know, different teams, you know, the Cubs and Seattle and LA, after really, you know, steady diet of their own, you know, their own in their own division.
Yeah, it's been like 26 out of their first 30 some games have been against the AL Central. We've only seen the White Sox and the Tigers and the Twins and really the Royals. We've seen all the teams in the division. It's just, you know, seeing a different sort of face might be interesting to follow. All right, we're going to wrap it up here. Today's podcast, we'll be back again tomorrow ahead of the first game of the series against the Cubs here on the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast.